The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance,
the broadcast
religion,
is now starting.
Science,
all attendees are in listen only
business,
mode.
New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader. Want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, second day of April, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. Dow up 62 points, S&P up 10, the comp is up by 23. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Well, the analysts have now raised their target, or at least one analyst, on Apple to $1,001. Currently trading, it's up $14 on the day at $614. But that's the new target, 1,001. That's almost a double from here.
How many shares outstanding do they have?
You know, I don't know. You can find that out very easily by going to finance.google.com, typing in AAPL, and you got to click on something, 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 and it'll tell you. But the fact that they're trading at such a high premium tells me that they haven't split in a long time, if ever. I'm sure at some point along the way they have. But that's kind of the big news. That and obviously Michael and I didn't win the Mega Millions because we're back here again this morning. but some people did. I think there was there were three tickets that had the winning numbers. So three people will split that, and so far they haven't come forward. and everyone has been on TV telling them how to spend their money, how to invest their money, but the solid advice that I've heard everyone give is that, you know, go get an attorney. Well, first they say sign your ticket, sign the back of it, put it in a safe place, go get an attorney, and then turn yourself in, or turn your ticket in. So that
turn
they can,
open.
So that they can then like put that. The ticket through all the checks that they have to put it through to make sure that it really is a valid ticket. So anyway, to whoever it was, or to whoever you folks are, gosh, congratulations! Just hope you don't, you know, fall prey to that thing that we've all seen and heard about. They even have a Discovery TV show about it, The Lottery Curse, and all these people that, you know, went from having nothing to having more than they ever dreamed of, and then, whoo, life just got out of control. So hopefully these guys will be well advised and do well with their earnings. Today in the market, today is the first day of the new quarter, and historically, the first day of the new quarter is a bullish day. It's an up day. People expect it. People anticipate it. People trade into it. And I think, for the most part, it's just, at this point, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's what happens because that's what's supposed to happen. And there are reasons why it happens. Portfolio managers, you know, getting set up for the new quarter, blah, blah. You can Google it up. Get all the details. There's probably even a Wikipedia page out there somewhere. This little tear that we've been on since we left the 1406-1407 weekly trading zone, man, what a strong move that's been. We had a pullback. We had a little double top, and then a pullback right to the top of the zone, and it's kind of been just straight up. However, this little guy right here may signal at least a pullback to the BBC, if nothing else. Potentially a pullback to the zone itself. We'll see. This was a rare occurrence here. We consolidated. Well, here's what made it rare is that we consolidated 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 contracts right below the zone. Now, typically, we would see this kind of activity inside the zone itself up here. But you know what? As I've always said, and will continue to say, because it's the truth, the zones are an area. It's an area to look for consolidation and then followed by either acceptance or rejection. Here we got consolidation and we got acceptance. Boom. Here, just really smooth. And even here. Now, this one was a little bit of a nail-biter because on this pullback, you had about a point and a half, a point and three-quarter drawdown. But then away it went. And if you stuck around, been plenty of upside opportunity this morning. If you were attempting to short the S&P, that probably didn't work so well. Or you had to really be on top of your game to find some little nook and cranny to do it in. And the YM, pretty much the same story. We sold off all the way down at the opening bell to our weekly zone at 1380.85. And there we turned on a dime, literally, and made a hop and a skip and a run. And now we're hanging out way up here. What do we even have? Do we have anything up in that area? Let's see, 13180.
1 minute.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we're sitting right on a zone right now. At 13220, 225. And so, with that said, this would be a good place for the market to take a breather. But first day of the trading quarter and all that, it may or may not. We'll see. See what happens right here. Now, the only other thing I want to cover, and I'll give it over to Michael so he can do the recap of the morning. Very active morning today. Traded a lot of gold. Over here, you can see, for those of you who are logged in, you can see my charts, you can see my screen. If you're not logged in, if you're only hearing the audio, on the right-hand side of the screen, there's a red, white, and blue button. Click here. If you click that, it'll take you to a page where you can register. You only have to register once each week, and then you're able to not only see the charts, see the screens, but you're able to participate in the discussion, ask questions, that type of thing. So we do encourage your involvement. Just click the red, white, and blue, click here button below the radio tower on any page of CFRN. If you click the Visit Our Blog page, it will take you to, no real surprise, the blog. And in the most recent post, there are two videos. It's a recap of the S&P 500 from March 23rd and March 26th. I've started to walk my way forward from the 23rd, just kind of going through, pointing out each of the trades as they set up throughout the day. I know that Michael goes through those, but during the amount of time that we have to do the recap each day on the radio show, he's trying to get through the Russell and the S&P and the Dow and the gold and the NASDAQ, and he's focusing more on what we actually were able to trade during that time period. And so on these S&P videos, I'm actually covering the entire 24-hour Globex session. So if you have time, you want to go and check those out, all you got to do is click. And while you're there, give us a plus one on the old Google Plus. It's also a spot where you can follow us on the Twitter, the Facebook. You can subscribe to our RSS feed. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can leave a review on iTunes, which we appreciate very much. And if you've never taken our free trial, here it is right here, 5-day free trial, live e-mini trading room. Click that, and it will take you to this page where you can register for a free trial. All right? All right, Michael, I know you got a lot to cover, so let me just give you the mic, give you the screen, and let you have at it.
Let me grab it. All right. Let's see. I just want to make sure you guys are looking at my charts. You are. All right. That's at 12:15. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April 2nd, 2012. Going to go over all the trades we took in the live trading room this morning. We focused quite a bit on gold this morning. Though we did trade the YM and the Russell as well. let me start with the results. We ended the morning session plus 29 ticks per contract on gold and the Russell. We were down 5 ticks per contract, and the YM, we were plus 20 ticks per contract. All right, that was our morning. now let me just go through all the setups. I tried to trade the ES, but there was one spot right here to enter, and at the time it was right inside the weekly trading zone over here, so I didn't take this entry, but this is where it would have been this morning, okay, on the 4-tick range. There was another one right here that I didn't even see. We needed a fresh bubble down there. You see there are 0 ticks on the ES. I tried to trade that this morning, but it just didn't come together the way we needed it to, okay. I didn't take this opportunity right here. There was an opportunity right here where we had the bullish cross and pull back down to the BBC, which is also right on top of the zone and support. That would have been a good opportunity to go long right there on the 10,000 contract ES. Let me point that out for you. All right, right there. Now I'm going to change the color of these arrows because I did not actually take these trades. And the trades that I do take will have a yellow arrow. Okay, the trades I did take do take have a yellow arrow. The other trades have orange arrows or some other color. That was the opportunity right there on the 10,000 contract. From a 2100, naked 2100 perspective, this is something that I don't go over all that often. But we have to wait till we get a five-point move to really take a look at it. This morning, for the first part of the morning, it was stuck inside the zones. You really didn't have any opportunity. Right here was the first time that it got outside the zones where you could have traded it, where it started to close on the other side here. The move, you expect a five-point swing, went from 14.05 up to 14.09. That was 4 points, okay? You probably wouldn't have wanted to trade it. Actually, you know what? You probably wouldn't have even wanted to trade it then because it had already made a four-point move, so you would have expected a five-point move back. So let's just skip that for now. There was a little gap this morning. I'll show you. Right here. There was a small gap down this morning, all right? The market gap down from last night, and then it ran. Well, not straight up, but it ran right up through all the zones, you see? Okay, that's the ES. Now, on the 2100 tick with all the indicators on it, you can see right here, it had the same setups as the 10K right here inside the zone. Once it got outside the zone, it pulled back to the BBC right here. The cycle wasn't really in favor of the trade, but the trade was there. There was something that was pointed out earlier on in the room this morning, right here a little after 10 o'clock this morning. We had the envelope, the blue envelope, was pierced by the green trend strength line right here on the CFDMT. This is on the 10,000 contract chart. That usually indicates a 5 to 6 point move in the direction of the envelope. So it was suggesting a 5 to 6 point move up. I mean, you can see it happened here at 14.06 roughly. And, I mean, you can see where it went. Let's look at the NQ next. Okay. We didn't trade the NQ, but we did point out some opportunities on the NQ this morning. There were a few of them. All right, these arrows, this arrow anyway, should not be that color. It should be orange. Let me just change it, because I didn't take any trades on the NQ. But I did point out a couple opportunities. Yeah. Just put another one here. These are the opportunities I pointed out this morning. All right, what I was looking for here on the NQ, the ones that I did manage to point out, we were looking for divergence right here. All right, then we got our cross up right there. I'll point that out to you. All right, this is the new CF slingshot. We got the cross up, the close above the MA1. I said right there would probably be a good place to go long. Obviously it was. Right here, we didn't have any divergence right here. All right. But we were just looking for the continuation trade, the bounce off the BBC. It tested the BBC, closed up above it, right in here. Either this close up above or this close up above, either one of those would have been a spot where you could get long. On the short side, we had divergence down here. Bearish divergence. You see. That's the bearish divergence. And that was the cross down. There was a close down below the MA1 after a test of the BBC. Again, right here. That was an opportunity to short. Right here, we had bullish divergence. Close above. Right there was an opportunity to get long. Here was another one. Bullish divergence. This is on the NQ for those of you folks who like to trade the NQ. Alright, I know there are some of you guys who are partners who like to trade the NQ, and possibly some of you guys who are considering becoming partners who may like to trade the NQ. Alright, those were the opportunities right there on the NQ this morning. Okay, so there was one right there, one right there, one right there. That's the weakest one out of all of them, and it was a short one, imagine. One right there, and one right there. And there were a couple more, actually, before that, right here. On the upside, right here on the downside, that didn't go anywhere. Right here on the downside, that one did move down. Right here, long. And right here, short. Okay. Those were the opportunities on the NQ this morning. All right, I'll go to the 6E next. On the 6E, we didn't have a ton of opportunity this morning. It hugged the weekly trading zone right here for most of the morning session. Okay, and when it broke the elbow to the upside over here, the white was leading the green, so it was suggesting that the BBC would hold on a pullback. It drew down a little bit, but it did end up going up. It was right into a weekly trading zone, so there's no trade there really. And that's pretty much what I was saying. Right here, when it broke the elbow to the upside, the white was not leading the green, so there was no trade there. This was a continuation trade if you had divergence, but you don't. Right here, actually. would be an opportunity because you do have divergence right there. Okay? So that's a possible opportunity right now, but at this point I wouldn't be trading the 6E. Okay, now the Russell, we took two trades on the Russell this morning. We lost six ticks on one, this one right here, and we made one tick back on this one right here. We actually made all the ticks back, but I had moved my stop up to break even plus a tick. Actually, break even plus two ticks or three ticks, and it slipped me on the pullback. Okay. Anyway, let me just go through the trades that set up here. Okay, I'll go through those first. This is on the Russell, and this is using what we used on Friday. You know, the Russell was hugging the zone here for the first part of the morning, so I wasn't really looking at it. Okay, finally it got over here, and there was some opportunity right in here where everything turned up, and there was divergence. So there was an opportunity to get long right in there. A pullback right here for a second opportunity on the long side. All right, you see this pullback right here with the divergence, and then everything got long. So there was an opportunity right in there. There was another one over here. Right here, I don't know why I have this arrow pointing down right here. Oh, because everything turned down. There was no divergence at the time when everything turned down, but it was there, okay? I tried to go long right here. There was no divergence on the long side, and this was the trade that I lost this morning. I lost six ticks on that trade. All right, there was some divergence down here. This was sort of a hiccup on the short side, suggesting to get short over here. And there was some divergence on the short side right here. Okay, I'll point that out to you. Right there. All right. Suggesting a close down below everything, like this one right here, would be a good spot to get short. And that would have been. Stuff turned around right here. It closed up above, started to move up. We did have some bearish divergence in here. All right. It's bearish divergence, but nothing worked out of it. We got some bullish divergence in right here once it started to consolidate and go sideways. I'll point out the bullish divergence. When I say divergence, I mean divergence between this thick line right here and mostly the green line, but pretty much all these other lines down here. The entry point on this, and let me just pop my questions up. Nobody's asking any questions right now. The entry point on all this would be the close up above everything, like right here. Okay, with all this going up, the close up above. Now, right over here, we had more bullish divergence right here, okay, but we had a shorting opportunity while the divergence was being created, so I shorted right there. It gave me six ticks, maybe seven at one point, and I moved my stop up to plus three or four ticks. I ended up getting slipped out at plus one tick, okay? Then, at that point, we could have actually reversed it, because we had bullish divergence and a close up above everything right here. All right. This was the bullish divergence. And this was the close up above everything right there. Then another one right over here. Now, the thing about this is this green line never made it above the MA1. So that wasn't as attractive as, say, it would have been right here, where the green line was above the MA1. But nevertheless, we didn't have any divergence to support all that. We did have all three of these lines heading in one direction, if you wanted to get long, right in here. All right, like they're starting to do right now. There's no divergence to support it, and it looks like it's going to start putting in some bearish divergence. But anyway, that was it. That was the Russell this morning. We ended minus five ticks on the Russell. Okay. I'll do the YM. I don't think I've done the YM yet. Dwayne covered the YM pretty much. We only took one trade. Dwayne showed you the bumps, right, this morning. On the open, it came down, turned right here at this zone. Okay, it turned right there. It came up, and it bounced around in here a little bit. We didn't take any trades in here because it was headed into a weekly trading zone, but it got up above it over here. All right. I'm not sure why we didn't see this in here, but we didn't take any trades in here. When it came down and pulled back up above again, we did take this trade right here. And we got 20 points out of this. We went long right here. I think it was at 31.42. And we followed it right up with our Dom. We trailed our stop up. After we got 10 ticks profit, we moved our stop up to break even. After we got about 12 ticks profit, we moved our stop up to plus 10. After we got 15, we moved our stop up to plus 12. And It just went right up to give us our 20 points, okay? Now, this down here is really not that... just changes the properties of these things. So you can see, well, you know what, I'm not going to change the properties. I think you guys can see them pretty well. You can see there was divergences down here as well. Now, right here, everything was down. This line right here, I'll change the property of that one. Give me just a second. Yeah, it's supposed to be set to a thicker property. There it is. That right there is the cycle. So when we have divergence away from that, which we had right here, price closing above the MA1 in that direction suggests moves up, okay? I'll show you the divergence scenarios right in here. Right in here. Right here. Right there. Right there. And even a little bit right in here. But those were all divergent scenarios. Now on the short side, we also had some of those. Pre-market, mostly. But right there. Right there. Right here. And right there. All right, those are all divergent scenarios on this slingshot indicator. Okay? The slingshot indicator. The slingshot is new. For those of you guys who are partners who don't have the slingshot yet, you need to go out to the indicator store, reinstall the CFWTZ, refresh the stuff in the indicator store before you do that, and reinstall the CFWTZ. Okay? For those of you guys who are not partners, well, you can still do it. You can still become partners. It's not too late. We'll still take you. All right, so that was my one trade there on the YM. I got plus 20 points on that. Now, the gold. All right, the gold is going to take me a few minutes. I know I've been going for about 15 minutes here, but the gold is going to take me a few minutes because we had a bunch of trades on gold this morning. All right, now what I was looking for on gold, for the most part, what I was looking for on gold was all three of these lines going in the same direction, these lines down here. Okay, not the red and blue one, but these right here. All three of those going in the same direction. This was my first trade this morning. I made 5 ticks on that one. This was my second trade. I got break even on this one. All right. You see all the lines were going in the same direction right there. I got break even on that. I entered there and exited over here for break even. This was my third trade. I actually had a lot of positive slippage on this one, because I think I ended plus 24 ticks after this. All right, so I had made 19 ticks total on this trade. And this trade over here, well, I already highlighted it down here. This was my fourth trade. I think I made 10 there, so I was 34. I think I made 12 on this one. I was up at 46 ticks right here, I think. And then I had a losing trade here for minus 6, I think. I had a break-even trade here, maybe plus 1 tick or 2 ticks, something like that. I had a winning trade here, a couple of losing trades in a row, then a winning trade. And because of these couple of losing trades in a row right here, this winning trade was only plus 1 tick, I think. At this point here, I was plus 29 ticks on the day. I think right over here, right here, I was plus 46. And over here, I was plus 29. And that's pretty much where I stopped taking the trades on the gold for the morning. All right, there were more opportunities. Right here, there was one on the short side, right here on the long side, right here on the short side again. It got pretty choppy in here, though. Looking at just the direction of the lines down here is primarily what I was doing. I mean, you can see when they're all going up and you close up above everything, it tends to go up. And when they're all going down and it closes below everything, it tends to go down. the divergences, I wasn't looking at the divergences as much, but just like the Russell, you know, the same thing applies when you have these divergences between these lines and the cycle. Now, let me just Let me make that cycle a little thicker. It says it's a 4. But it's going to take it a second, I think, to make it thicker. Anyway, the cycle down there, you can see the divergences again in here. The close down below, the close down below. Over here, the divergence was on the long side. All right, right in there. Again, right here, the divergence was on the long side, but we didn't close up above everything until we lost the divergence. All right, now it's on the short side again. So right over here. So right in there would be where you would be looking to enter that trade. All right, and over here again, right here. All right. That is how we were trading gold this morning. All right, so tomorrow morning we may trade gold again the same way. Some people seem to like it in the room this morning. I didn't have any requests to not trade gold. People did want to see a little more of the Russell. You know, it seems like since I moved away from the ES a little bit into these other markets that are moving all the time, very few people are requesting to go back to the ES. But that's neither here nor there. The ES is a staple, and if it's moving, we're going to keep trading it. Okay. All right. So, recap of the morning again. Plus 29 gold, minus 5 Russell, and plus 20 YM. That's how we're gonna end it here. All right. If anybody has any questions, you can email support@cfrn.net. If you haven't taken a free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, APPLY, and you can take the free trial with us. In the free trial, you get all of our indicators, including the new slingshot. You get access to all the data and charts that you see here. And you get to sit in the live trading room with us. All right, for 5 business days. 5 business days, and then we ask you to make a decision. All right, so that's it, guys. Gonna wrap it up here. There you go. Recording is off.
Speaking of business days, Friday is Good Friday.
Correct. So we only have 4 business days this week.
So this is a 4-day week. Yes, that is correct.
And you see where gold just went on that move down. For what it's worth, guys, gold is $10 a tick, just like the Russell. So moving from right here at, we'll say, 1682.1 down here to 1681.1, that's $100 a contract. Okay.
And
today, after
the
first
margin?
Hour or so. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dwayne. All right, today after the first hour or so, when we were up 46 ticks, that was $460 a contract on the gold. The YM is $5 a tick per contract, so we were up 20 ticks on that. That's $100 a contract. And the Russell is $10 a tick per contract. We're down 5 ticks on that. So just to keep everybody all updated with it all.
Yeah, by the way, Bert is back from vacation.
Yes, welcome back, Bert.
All right, I'm here. I'm back. Back in the saddle. Refreshed.
Good to have you back, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, we've just been sitting around, missing you, talking about the good old days when Bert was around.
I need a vacation from the vacation.
That's how it always is. Yeah, I saw what you had typed in about the market will be open Friday, but for an abbreviated session. And it will open Thursday night for Globex. And then what time Friday morning will it shut down, Bert?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Chicago or Eastern?
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Okay.
I think they just want to get the unemployment report out, open up, trash around, and then close it up.
And then Monday markets will be open as normal.
Correct. Yeah.
So Monday is normal. Should be.
So what did you do exciting on your vacation? Did you learn how to surf? Or?
I learned how to sit on the beach, watch my kids so they don't drown.
Okay.
And from the beach, and that's it.
Get a little sunburn?
Yeah, definitely got that.
Good, good. No vacation's complete without a sunburn.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it was good. We needed it. We hadn't been on a family vacation in a while because we keep having kids. So
keep expanding the family.
Yeah, that's right. So we got a basketball team now, and now we, other than that, yeah, it was good. I mean, we needed it. So I'm back in the saddle going through about 100 emails and you know, all in all, I had my laptop with me, so the market wasn't very far away. I was checking in and watching the action, so it was good.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time, and glad you're back. I know Leslie's glad you're back.
Yeah. Yeah, usually I put a little pressure on her, so.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. So. All right, well, stick around. We're going to bring Mr. Williams on. I'm sure he wants to, because every day he'd go, is Bert there? And I'd go, no, he's on vacation. And then the next day he'd go, so, is Bert here? And I go, no, he's on vacation. So, David, Bert is officially back from vacation.
I'm back, and I'll be back in the cave here while you guys talk it out.
All right, guys, don't go away. We're going to go to David Williams at PageTrader.com. Again, if you've not taken advantage of the free trial, all you got to do, go to cfrn.net/apply.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Bert.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bert.
Hey, baby.
Well, there you are.
What's going on?
Just working away here. Happy to have you back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
That's nice. I heard you say you needed a vacation from your vacation, and that's why I don't take many vacations.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's been a while for us, but, you know, it was good to get away as a family and,
oh yeah,
you know, like, do the family thing.
No, that's beautiful. Very nice. Makes the wife happy. The kids are happy to have you there.
Oh,
it's nice. To, you know, kids are supposed to see their parents happy together, you know, doing nice things. I remember a million years ago when I was in San Diego. I couldn't have been 10 years old, maybe, and we were walking through there was some amusement park, I don't know what it's called in San Diego, I forgot the name of it, but I just remembered glancing up at my stepfather and my mother as they were walking, and I looked at my mom and I could see that she was happy, you know. And
about,
you know,
Balboa,
the whole thing,
Balboa Park?
It may have been, but it had amusement rides, it was a whole big thing. Hmm. Like permanent stuff there, or maybe it wasn't San Diego, maybe it was Pacific Ocean Park. I just don't remember. Remember POP? I don't know if you knew about that in California. Mm-hmm. This is a million years ago. But anyway, I just remember looking up and seeing my mom, who, you know, was obviously very happy. We were walking along and I could see that she was happy. And I remember that was a really nice feeling that, you know, your parents are there, they're happy, you know, you're just a 10-year-old boy or 12 or whatever. And it's nice to see your parents having a nice time together. So I'm sure your boys and girls or whatever you've got were happy to see that. It's good for them to see that, you know, to see the mom and dad having a nice time together.
Very true.
Yeah. So what about you, Dwayne? Have you seen your mom and dad happy and jumping around together?
No, not so much.
No. All right, well, that's an honest answer.
No, they split up when I was about 7, and so they always got along. They're still friends today, but there weren't, you know, there weren't a lot of Hallmark moments around there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was good. I mean, you know, happy childhood.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, let's see. We do have a short week this week, and Bert, will you clarify for me, is Thursday a half day?
Actually, Thursday is a full day. Friday, I think, is going to be open until like 10 a.m.
Okay, Thursday is a full day. Okay. We'll probably be here through Thursday for our schedule for Messenger Pro. There's a possibility if the market gets really quiet on Wednesday that we will just call it a week. Sometimes that happens as we get into holidays that are leading into a weekend like we do here. People will take it off, and Thursday might end up being a very quiet day, or we may only have a half a day on Thursday, something like that. But there's no point if the market's really quiet in just forcing people to stare at the screen for a long period of time with nothing happening. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, no, this is a week where we can all catch up on some things around in our personal lives and whatever. And it's a good idea to make lists of all the things, even if you can't do them right away. Make, you know, on your little iPhone, everybody has something they can digitally put the idea down, what I need to do, a to-do list. It's everybody talks about them, but I don't know how many people actually have them. But it's a good idea to mark those things down, even if you can't do them right away. And remember, I mean, this is just my own observations for 54 years, but the moment you think of something, if it's possible to do it, get it done right then, because there's no resistance in the world to getting it done at that moment. But the longer you put it off, for some reason, it's just the nature of things that stuff starts building up between you and getting that thing done until finally, you know, you're just lost in a world of webs. You can't get yourself to get that thing done. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, it's an enormously liberating feeling to have caught up in your life and, you know, pretty much as best as you can, taken care of all the things that need to be done, paid off those little things that needed to be paid off, tasks that needed to be done. It's enormously liberating. It's a difficult feeling to describe because all of us are so used to being, knowing that we have a whole bunch of stuff that needs to get done. But it is a really liberating feeling to catch up, and it takes work to stay caught up. But once you're there, it can be really creative feeling. You feel like you can do anything, go anywhere, and that you're really much sharper on your game than you would be if you had all these things hanging back there that have to be done. So I try to do that as best as I can, and it really has been wonderful for me. It's the opposite of how I used to live my life. I was never somebody to pick up after myself very much, like a lot of guys. Just typical bad habits, procrastinating on things, not picking up after yourself, letting things go, putting it off. Just do it now. And I remember my mom for many years, what was her line? She used to say, don't wait till the last minute. And my line is, don't even wait for the first minute. Just get it done. The last minute is, you know, way down the road. And I appreciated what she said, but it's stuck in my head. But it really does make a difference on the quality of your life to start, even in a small way, just one or two things a day that you fix and catch up that get them out of the way. And be careful about taking new obligations on as well. Because even a little thing, like saying to somebody, yeah, I'll meet you for lunch or something like that, that can turn into a whole string of new obligations. If you're really working on cleaning your stuff up, try to not take on too many new obligations that people ask you to do or to show up at or to this, that, and the other. And before you know it, you'll find that you've really cleaned up a lot of messes. And, we're coming into tax time. That's another one where, that's a, for a lot of people that can be a mess. And instead of buying the new thing that you want, you know, maybe it's better just to pay off a good chunk of that if you can, if you owe money, and just clear up all these things. And by the way, I know everybody knows this, but the IRS is enormously liberal in their payment plans. So just remember this. If you do have a tax issue of some kind where you might have a year or two in the past, sometimes, you know, that's happened to me as well, where you have gotten behind in your taxes and you just keep running and running, you're running your life, and you just suddenly you find yourself 2 years behind or whatever, they will allow you, nowadays especially, they're very, very liberal with your payment plan. But you have to be on that plan to, you know, to get the ball rolling, and then you have to stick to that plan. So otherwise they will take that plan away. So, you know, tax time is coming. It's scary, you know, but it doesn't have to be scary if you're planning for your life. Most people who have financial problems don't have them because they don't make enough money. Most people who have financial problems have them because of personality problems dealing with money. That's why they have them. Most people have enough income to live, but not necessarily to do everything they want to do. But when, because I've known myself and others who have been through that situation, and the way that you manage your money, the way that you manage your life, all these things are all connected. And at some point, you're going to find yourself in a position where you're going to realize that a lot of the things that keep happening to you in your life are happening primarily because you keep doing the same things over and over again because you're thinking about things the same way. And you change your thinking about them. And changing it doesn't mean figuring out a better way to think about it. It just means stopping thinking about it the way that you are now. Don't worry about filling in the blank with a new way of thinking. Just stop doing the bad thinking. And you'll have a very natural form of intelligence that can operate then that'll allow you to straighten out things and messes and all kinds of stuff. But I really noticed that over the years, that the people that get into these problems, whether it's IRS or other types of issues, financially just mismanaging their life, this has to do with how you view things and how you either procrastinate or whatever. Everyone's been through it. The question isn't whether you are like everybody else or if I'm like you or you're like me. The really only important question is when are you going to finally stop being that way? We've all been through it. So there's nobody has any advantage over anybody else. The only real question is when are you going to stop doing that? When are you going to just start living an organized life with regard to all the practical things and taking care of things as they need to be taken care of? And then you can really enjoy your time off and your free moments and all that stuff. You'll really enjoy them much better than you do now. You think you enjoy them now, but you can't really enjoy things when you've got 50 other things in the background, you know, tugging at you. And that's why I say it's an enormously liberating thing to clean up your life. And that's why I love that song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Forget about saving the world. Brighten the corner where you are. You know, pick up, make your little part of the world bright, and that will do much more for the whole world than all of your great plans to go out, you know, and do whatever you want to do with saving the world. By brightening the corner where you are, it sets an example, it makes you feel much, much better, it changes you, and in changing yourself, it changes the world. And it really does work that way. So give that a shot and see if you can. I'm a student of the very thing that I'm talking about. I'm not an expert, I'm not a teacher of it. I'm just one of the people, just like anybody else, who's trying to make better and better use of my time to make sure that I can clean up the things in my own life that need to be cleaned up and keep them clean and brighten the corner where I am. It's going to be a much, much nicer world when people think in those terms and stop blaming other people for where you are. And listen, maybe somebody else did something to you that really does put you in a bad position. Well, you'll learn the lesson from that now. You'll be much wiser and now clean that up and you'll live your life much wiser next time around. Because sometimes there really is a legitimate person to point a finger at and blame. But you played your part in many cases in that as well. And if you didn't, and even if you didn't, it's time to get past that and clean it up and, you know, move on from there. There's always somebody there that's willing to do something to hurt you. You know, and if you make yourself available to it, you know, the devil shows up, you know, right when you call him. You know, you don't have to rub a magic bottle three times to get the devil to show up, do you? Because he'll pop right in at the slightest request or the slightest weakness on your part. Somebody asks you to do a favor for them and you should say no. And by the way, a lot of people might believe that saying no to somebody is is not a nice thing, and you picture yourself being a nice person. Saying no to people sometimes is a very godly thing to do. It's a very wise thing to do. But you might be weak enough in your development at this point in life, like all of us are, and say yes to something we should say no to. But we've been told that saying yes is nice, and that saying yes is godly, and that saying yes, you can think of yourself as a nice person and all that stuff. How's that working for you? It isn't working real well for most people that I know. You better learn how to say no when it's the right time to say no to people. And that means that you may have to feel uncomfortable for a moment. You may not know how to handle yourself by saying no because maybe you've always said yes, that sort of thing. You know, we have to grow up. You have to learn that doing what's right for you in the majority of the cases is also right for the other person as well. Now, there's one for you to think about. Doing what's right for yourself. I don't mean right like, you know, hoarding things. I'm talking about the thing that's right. Like in this case, maybe you have to say no to somebody. In the majority of cases, that's actually good for them as well. It's good for you and it's good for them because they're probably asking for something they shouldn't have, don't have the rights to, or, you know, are imposing on you in some way. And you finally say, you know, I'm sorry, I really can't do that for you this time. And then they'll either complain or they'll do whatever. But in the majority of cases, what you're doing legitimately, what's right for yourself, often ends up being right for the other person because he's in a wrong position by asking you for more than he should have coming. I have a friend, person I don't hang around very much, and there's a reason for it, and he knows what the reason is. And the problem is that what he does is when he's with you, he's, you know, sounds pretty light-spirited, but while you're sitting there with him, over a period of time, 15, 30 minutes, an hour passes, before you know it, he's asking you for something. He's pushing you to give him something, an unearned benefit of some kind. He's asking you for time. He's asking you for money. He's asking you for something. And if you say no to him, he'll continue to ask in some other way. So in very short order, it gets to be a big pain to be hanging around somebody who's constantly got a bad habit of trying to get something from other people. So, you know, whatever friends he does have, these friends are people who are used to that and either give in or don't know how to say no or whatever. But you'll find in your life, just like I have, that there's extremely appropriate moments for you to say no. And don't let anybody tell you that you're supposed to say yes because you're supposed to be a nice person and loving. Some of the most loving things you're ever going to do in this life for somebody else is say no. That's what some of the most loving things are going to be. You have a picture in your mind of what loving is or maybe what Jesus did or how he would have acted. You don't know how he would have acted. You have an idea of how he would have acted, but you don't have the wisdom he's coming from. And quite often, wisdom involves saying no. And you may have to learn in your own life, just like I have and continue to, that yes is also appropriate, but no is also appropriate as well. And quite often in day-to-day living, no is very appropriate because people are trying to get something from you that they don't have coming. It obligates you in ways that you don't really want to be obligated, and it's bad for you to keep giving of yourself and being weak, which is what it is. You know, that inner strength that you see other people have, they have that by growth, by going through the things that are uncomfortable, and many times saying no is a very uncomfortable thing for people. So just keep that in mind. No is a very positive thing. You have the power to say no. You may not feel you do, but you have the power to say no. And as a matter of fact, there's a little booklet written by Vernon Howard, the author that I've mentioned on this program before. I'm not here to present his works or to pitch his works or anything that goes into that subject. And that's where I originally had heard about that idea about the power to say no and the wisdom of that in your life. You can think back. You probably can. You probably, all of us, anybody listening, has probably, with almost certainty, has gotten yourself into trouble by saying yes when you should have said no. And That problem is going to represent itself under a different guise, the same way that markets move and they set the same kind of thing up, but it's different this time, but it's the same. That's going to represent itself to you in your life. And if you didn't learn from that last one, then they're going to present it to you differently this time, and you're going to find yourself saying the wrong thing, which is yes, in most cases. And there you are again. Then you get stuck in the obligation and the problems, the future, this, that, and the other. Before you know it, you keep, at some point you're going to realize you have to make a change in yourself. That's really all religions finally boil down to self-change. Not just acting nice. In fact, in the Bible itself, Jesus makes, he storms about being a hypocrite and saying things, nice things, doing things, you know, being seen of men and all that stuff, because of the how bad it is, not only for the others, but how bad it is for you yourself to do that, to continue that behavior, that worthless behavior of pretending to be a nice person when you're really nothing of the kind. It's not nice to say yes to other people when you're doing it out of weakness. Period. It's bad for them, and it's bad for you. It's bad for me. So you might tell yourself you're being loving, but you're a million miles from anywhere near that because it's weakness. And weakness, well, you know, it's not, God isn't the author of weakness. So you figure out who is. God is not the author of weakness. He doesn't author you to walk around and weakly and meekly give in to people and say yes when you should say no. And you'll find, you'll see the certain situations that come up in your life where a no is appropriate. And you can practice that, and you can grow from that, and then you can clean up your life, and then at some point you'll be a very happy human being because you've taken responsibility for everything that you were given here, and you'll feel wonderful about it, and you'll have a creativity that comes through that that you can't have when you're all blocked up like we most of us are, including myself. I'm not speaking down to anybody here. I really don't mean to. Because I'm right in there with you. I just happen to have an interest because I've lived 54 years or whatever it is, however long since I've made my change, I've lived a long number of years doing it the other way, putting things off, saying yes when I should say no. And, you know, you finally get to a point where you say, I've had enough of that. I'm just not going to do that anymore. I'm going to find my way out of this. You know, so I know this is a market show, but, you know, sometimes it's important to bring those things up, and I felt like it was right here. So, Dwayne, now I can go to the markets if you'd like me to.
Okay.
Unless you have anything you want to say.
Market
or otherwise.
No, I think everything I was going to say you just said, so.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Good, good, good. Okay, so let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the S&P. We can start with this market. You know, let's go back to the bigger picture. I have a couple of additions I want to bring up about the market here. Going back a ways, you know, we talked for the last several months, we've been all talking about the S&P's bigger bottom that they put in October and how the advance off that was likely going to be much larger than usual because of the fact that there were several very, very really important, for lack of a better word, cycles that came in during the October bottom, one of which was a roadmap, which we didn't publish the roadmap per se, but that was part of the reason, a big part of the reason why the market would have this larger move. And then the month of March, which is a reflected wave top, that month closed, which just closed the other day, closed above 1373, which we've talked about, that if they close above 1373, that means that the top in March will tend to be of less importance. It'll still be a top, but it'll be of less importance. Now, having said that, over the weekend I was doing looking at the markets here, and I really wanted to find what the number is because everybody wants to know, well, where are we going on the upside? Is there a good number? You know, we have nearby and targets, etc., but where are they really heading here? And the number is 1434 as the minimum target that the market is going to complete on the upside before any more important, 3334 on the upside, before any more important reversal is going to occur. Now, that's the minimum on the upside. And as you know, we've talked about over the last month that there's a number of other targets, one of which also, I believe, is going to be completed in spite of any reversal that we get along the way, the usual reversals that we would get along the way, even if they're somewhat sizable. The market wants to go up and complete 1477 as well. So the first level that we're expecting to be reached before any really important trend-breaking reversal would occur would be 1433.34 on the upside. So keep that in mind. That's a important level. It's not an outright forecast as a roadmap would be, but I think you should keep an eye on that and be very careful with short positions. As I've been saying from the very start, you know, that you don't want to be short. Don't take short positions. It's very difficult. We started saying that back, I think, in January, maybe a little beyond that, to be very careful about being short in this market because of the forces that are at work, which are much larger than normal. Everybody's indicators are overbought. So if you, you know, are looking at your overbought stuff and saying, well, you know, gosh, everything's overbought, it doesn't quite work that way. I wish it was that easy in the markets, but there's a much larger force at work than your overbought condition. And so you have to be very careful with using that. Finally, in the end, it will be overbought and the bigger move will happen, and you can say, boy, look right here, it was overbought. But that's not really a useful signal because it had a number of false ones before it. Obviously, you know, the market continues higher. Apple's up today, somebody was mentioning to me. Obviously, for the S&P to have this continued move, it can't just be one stock that's moving it, but probably a number, because it's an index. So we have a number of stocks that are in the index. There's 500 of them there that are pushing to higher prices. So you're going to have to be very careful, I think, on the short side until we see the 1433 and potentially even substantially higher get completed here. Now, we're now in the 1 month late for the reflected wave, and we have not issued or inferred to anybody that they should be short at any time yet. Because of the power of this and because 1433.34 has not been reached, I think it's wise to look for buying opportunities, as we've been saying for quite some time, and continue to trade on the long side. All surprises are likely going to be on the long side. Nobody can be exact and perfect in this. We have to go with the highest probability setups we can go with. We, meaning all of us, you know, as traders, and do the best with that information. If that means we have to wait for some reversal to begin before we get in, well, that's just the way it goes, because you can lose an awful lot of money trying to pick the top without having a really good understanding. Sometimes the market gives you very, very clear pictures of what's going to happen, and you can make really good entries right at the top or bottom. But that's not all the time. You know, everybody knows that that's not going to be all the time. The other times, when it's not quite as clear, you have to be more careful. That's all. Just don't grab, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be short from the very edges of the top in order to have a very good trade. You can be in from all kinds of levels and have a very good trade if you're following your particular technique, you know, whether it's your own work, Dwayne and Michael's reflected wave, our stuff, whatever it is. So anyway, then we got into Friday, which on Friday we talked on the radio program about the market was going to move up to 1406.50 in the sixth hour, or the fifth hour, that when we were on the program, and that it would need to touch that, and then it would have a reversal off of that. We came out with a roadmap on Friday that forecast that the reversal from the 1406, they got up to 1406. They didn't quite do the 50, but they did 1406 1 hour late in the sixth hour. That shows you the power of the natural numbers, where the market wants to touch a certain number at a particular time. And then they reversed, and our the target was 1,400 on the downside for the first target on the downside. That would be the first important target. And they did reach that this morning. They got down to 1,399, and then we, of course, have had a powerful reversal off that. We bought earlier today, had a decent trade on the upside. The market has now, you know, obviously gone substantially further and is testing this 1,315 and 1,316 target. that is not target, but just resistance level that is on the upside here. Now, Dwayne, I don't know if this is coinciding with some of your zones or not with regard to the weekly, or I don't know if you want to mention those on the program or not.
No, we already covered those. Okay. We had beautiful zone-to-zone moves this morning.
And, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Really good. A question for you from Patrick. For David, okay. Messenger Pro roadmap from last Friday, you indicated hourly closes above 1407 would negate the roadmap.
That's correct.
We had hourly closes above 1407. Do you include the Globex overnight session with your roadmaps?
Okay. We've talked about this before. The roadmap is, and I've mentioned this since day one on the program, we don't utilize Globex in generating the forecasts that are known as roadmaps. I do, if the roadmap is multi-day, meaning that we're saying there's going to be a multi-day advance, you know, this thing that we did on Friday was just for 6 points on the downside. It's a very small move. It really isn't even the normal size or near the normal size of a normal roadmap. So the answer is that we don't take that into consideration, and I know that that's a very difficult subject because during Globex, the market can move to a number of different levels, and then suddenly they open up back below the critical level of the roadmap like they did today, and then they go down and they complete the roadmap. So that is tricky, and it would be difficult to trade. So there's no question about that. The real roadmaps are the ones that have multi-day movements in them where we do include the Globex. That way we don't have to worry about splitting hairs on what the Globex did and what the pit session or day session, it's a better term, did. So that's the answer to the question, but I know that your question is based upon the idea that that would be very difficult to hold that because we were using 1407 as a number that they shouldn't be above, and Globex got above that. They got up to 1410.25, and then by the time they opened today, they got back below it and ran right down to the 1400 target. Today's low is 1399, and then you know we reversed off that. So that would have been tricky to trade. I don't like, you know, trying to make money or make points, make a successful trade for a small number of points that includes an overnight. And this one obviously did include the overnight. Now, had somebody traded off of 1406 or 1405 on Friday, they did get down to 1450 on Friday. They almost completed on Friday the whole move that the roadmap was from 1406 down to 1400. That's the best thing I can say about what happened on Friday is we got most of it done, but we didn't get it all. So if you did hold on the overnight, you would have been likely stopped out of that. And that's just the fact. So we do have some other stuff that's coming up, though. Patrick, I hope that answers your question. If you have any other one, just shoot it on. We do have some other things that are happening. Right now they're testing 1416, which is listed in our support and resistance panel for today. And this level is pretty important. So how they handle this level will tell us, and the next level above this is 19/20, relatively nearby, and this will tell how they handle the 16 is going to tell us a lot about that thing we talked about earlier, which is the 1434 coming on the upside. So we'll watch and see how that all goes. Dwayne, anything you want to add to any of this with regard to the S&P?
Nope, just... As we talked about earlier, first day of the quarter, historically, it is a bullish day, an up day. All the fund managers are restocking.
I didn't know that. That's good. That's good to know.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, first day of the month, first day of the quarter are historically, if you go back and, I mean, that's just the deal. Everybody expects the markets to go higher. First day of the month, first day of the quarter, and so... For that reason alone, it tends to be, I think, a self-fulfilling type of prophecy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the actual reason behind it. Because all of the fund managers are buying stocks, which causes the prices to go up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good stuff. Okay, so you want to move on? We'll slide over to some other markets here. Let's take a look here. Well, we've got gold up a little bit. I don't remember, to be honest with you, I don't remember what we talked about. I do remember we gave out a call on the radio program for there's a natural position for gold. As long as they closed above 1649, they would advance. They would want to touch a natural level, which is 1677 to 1699, into April 3rd. And today is April 2nd, so they've completed that target early, you know, one day early, which is fine. So we've had a nice move up from there. And we may have some higher prices here during the week here. Gold is in a decent position here. I think I mentioned also, I'm just looking through the charts here, that we're in a period now for gold that is somewhat critical right here. This week of April 2nd is important, and we may have something to do with gold here in the form of a weekly or daily roadmap coming up shortly here. So we'll see how the fact that they did the natural number that we just talked about on the upside, you know, and did it in the time frame that they normally would is a good indication that the market's acting normally, and that helps us put the roadmap together here. So we'll talk about that as we get a little deeper in the week here. Let me see if there's anything else on gold. I think that's about it, Dwayne, for gold. Do you have anything on gold yourself, or did you already cover this?
Yeah, we did. We traded gold quite a number of times this morning in the live trading room.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael went through each of those trades. And today we got a double we already covered the gold. So.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Let me think if there's anything else there. Okay, let's switch over to the Treasury bond market. We've talked about this market. The main thing, the two main things that are happening in this market is that we've forecast a big top in the market way back. You know, I don't have it directly in front of me, all the stuff that we have in it, but basically that the second quarter of last year would be a top. They tested that or attempted to retest it in the last quarter of last year, and then we've had the beginning move down from that. We're now at a bottom. We've talked about this, that we forecast March 19th as a bottom for this market. So we're looking for multi-week sideways to up movement, but the bigger picture remains down. I've said this a million times on the program, but I think it's worth saying again that this is a very unusual time, and it's going to, I believe, upon retrospect, is going to be seen as very unusual. The thing that's very unusual is that you have the two prongs of, you know, extremely low interest rates. I don't think interest rates are going any lower. So we can call these extremely low interest rates and extremely low housing prices. Now, those two things together are not going to stay that way for very long. In the bigger picture, I'm not talking about just for a number of days, but these are multi-generational cycles. But the fact that interest rates are extremely low and housing prices are extremely low means that it's very unusual, and that I think it's a no-brainer to, without sounding strange, be bullish or long on houses at this point. Because you can purchase one for a very small amount of money relative to what they were recently. New home construction is very inexpensive, and they are competing right now against the glut of, you know, 100-to-1 ratio of homes that are for sale out there, short-sailed or foreclosed upon. Those new builders have to build really quality homes, and they have to put a lot of features in them to get a person who would normally buy a short-sale home at a discount to buy a new home. And so you might be seeing builders building right now some of the best homes they've ever built. Profit margins are thinner than they've ever been. Interest rates are lower than they've ever been. All that's not going to hang around for long in the bigger picture. And that means that you have a window of time here if you want to take advantage of that, because interest rates are going to start going up and housing prices are going to start going up. I believe the housing bottom is in. I mentioned in January, I think, that I thought, or February, whatever it was, that I thought that, it dawned on me that Barack Obama is likely going to be the reelected president, highly likely. And the reason I thought that was because it struck me was that all these things that have been failed policies on his part and, you know, money that has been spent and lost and, you know, to, you know, enormous amounts of money, larger than any the entire history of American presidents combined, has been lost in this administration through foolish spending and bad ideas and this, that, and the other. You know, we can argue about that. I don't even want to go down that. But let's just say it's been lost for whatever reason. And yet nearly 50% of the populace still really likes him. That's a very powerful sign. We've had 3.5 years of this, and people still really like him. It suddenly hit me, well, that's kind of a no-brainer. The guy's going to win. So I think he is going to win this election, and that means that he is going to be supercharged into continuing the kind of behavior that he's shown up to now, which is to spend large amounts of money, basically, as far as I'm concerned, abuse the United States Treasury, because we are the ones that are going to have to all pay that back. We're all going to have to pay our fair share. You'll be hearing that term a lot in the next 4 years, trust me. Our national debt's going to go to $20 trillion. It started out at 9 when he showed up. It's 16. It's nearly 16 now, certainly will be by his election, and it'll easily be at 20 within a year or two of him being in the office, because he is going to be supercharged in his belief that this is the right thing to do, that people are believing in his vision. And so all of that is going to bring inflation in and many other factors. The economy is going to come back, though, I believe. It may not come back in full steam in spite of these policies, in spite of the kinds of regulations and, you know, growth of government and all the other stuff that he envisions. I mean, do you really want other people to make all the decisions in your life for you? Because that's what this government wants to do. They want to have everything, including what happens in your bedroom, controlled and dominated by the government. I mean, all the way down to your personal life, let's put it that way. Whatever your personal thing is, they want as much control over that as they can possibly have. And that's why they grow government. They grow it for two reasons: to have more power over individuals and to spend more money on entitlements for people. In many cases, to give loans to people who, you know, help them along the way up. You know, like, as an example, Solyndra and a number of other companies who did invest and did give money to, you know, his party on the way up. And they got a nice big loan for that, for $500 million. That's all gone now. So I like the idea, by the way, of, you know, having the green revolution and all that. But you can't wave a magic wand and make it happen. It just doesn't work that way. I don't know why these people think they can do that. It just doesn't work that way. All the pieces have to be in place, and they're not. And you can start by trying to put the pieces in place, but you're not qualified. This administration is not qualified, nor is any administration qualified, to go around and be seeding these companies that they're just picking like horses to go, you know, start a run. Maybe they'll be right on one of them, you know, and maybe something will happen, but the whole thing has to happen. There has to be real interest from entrepreneurs and other people to really, who know what to do with this money and know where to put it and all that stuff, not just to pick people who gave you money for your election and give them a loan and hope it turns out okay, you know, and then blame, you know, some previous administration for that or whatever, you know. So anyway, the interest rate thing, just want to repeat it. Very, very low interest rates, very, very low housing prices. You haven't seen it in your lifetime probably before. And, I mean, relative to, you know, the time, I mean, houses used to be $80,000, and that was, you know, they weren't cheap then. That was an expensive house. My stepfather bought a 3,000-square-foot house when I was 5 years old for $35,000. So at that time, that was a decent size, that was a, you know, decent-priced house. Relative to the time, though, relative to current prices, housing is cheap now. Interest rates are dirt cheap. You're not going to see this in your lifetime again. So this is a very unique moment, I believe, in the economy, and I think it's a wise idea if you want to buy a home or refinance a home. You can also do the HARP loan that we've talked about, where they'll refinance you. This is kind of a government program where they'll refinance you at the lowest interest rate possible, and it'll only cost you like $2,000 to do that, or less, depending on your loan. that's closing and everything else. And that's a really good deal because, as you know, if you did any of these other loans back in the day, just a few years back, you'd pay up to $7,000, $8,000 by the time that thing was done because everybody was taking a chomp out of you. You know, now it's down to what the real price is, and you might want to do that. You can save a couple $100 to in some cases, even $1,000 off of your payment each month, depending on how what your loan is and what your previous interest rate was. Really should consider doing that if you're looking around right now. One last thing. There's a rule in the regarding housing. There's a rule that George Bush or a legislation that George Bush had put into place about short sales. And I've mentioned this last week that back in the day, just a few years ago, nobody did a short sale. Now short sales are everywhere. Short sales mean that you want to sell the home for less than what you owe on it. You're selling it short of what you owe on the home. And you have to get the bank's permission to do that. They have to agree with you to do that. Why would they do that? Because the market has crashed. There's no hope for getting out, and they want to. They have insurance to cover some of their loss, et cetera, et cetera. So they will do that. That difference between what you sell the house for and what you owe, the IRS used to consider that a windfall profit to you. And so George Bush, in his wisdom, you got to give him some credit for this, before the housing crash, maybe he knew something, but before the housing crash, he made a rule that said that the IRS wasn't going to consider the difference, the short sale difference, as a windfall profit. And that rule, that legislation, ends in December of this year. So that means that anybody who short sells his house to get out of their home, which is, there's two ways to get out. One is foreclosure, one is short sale. Short sale is a cleaner, not so hard on your credit. Foreclosure means you're done for 7 years. Your credit's been damaged for 7 years. You've walked away from an obligation. A short sale is much better. But for people who this matters to, you might want to consider, if you're thinking about short selling your home, getting that process started prior to December. I think there's a good likelihood that this administration is going to extend the short sale rule so that you won't have a windfall profit. Because that would certainly not go along with this. I mean, but I'm guessing this because I've tried to guess what this president's going to do, and I'm always wrong. Wouldn't it make sense? I mean, seriously, doesn't it make sense to extend the rule? Because then you'd have hundreds of thousands of people who are going to continue to be trying to get out of their home responsibly. They're still making their payments, but they've realized they have to get out of it. You'd think, yes, let's extend that rule because these people have already taken a big loss. Now we're going to, if the difference between what you short sale the house for and what the loan was $70,000, they're going to be asking you for the tax as if that $70,000 was a windfall profit to you. So now on top of losing your home, you now owe like $30,000 in taxes and interest and penalties. So wouldn't it seem like this administration that cares about the little guy? I mean, doesn't it make sense that they would say, yeah, we're going to extend that? So that because we still have a lot of years of short sales occurring here, we don't want all those people to suddenly have to take on a new $30,000 or $25,000 or $10,000 obligation. This is how I would guess. I would bet money that he is going to end that or extend that, excuse me. But I've been wrong about every other twist and turn this guy has done. So that's what I'm saying. You might want to get the paperwork ready, get the thing going before December, if you are thinking about doing that, because otherwise, if he doesn't extend it, then your short sale difference, you're going to be taxed on as a windfall profit. That's no fun. So
no, it's not. In fact, it'll probably cause more and more people to just choose, you know, to go bankrupt, which is not good. So
yeah, which is not good. And that's what I'm saying. I can't imagine him allowing that to happen. But I've said that about many, many things, and then he's turned around and he's you know, had great reasons to do this. I don't know what those reasons would be, but you know, so I'm just saying to people, you might want to seriously consider getting it done before December. Don't, like my mom used to tell me, don't wait till the last minute. Like I said before, because you know how that stuff goes. So. Anyway, I do think he's going to have to, you know, extend that because it's just ridiculous that these people, you know, a person who's lost his home has already gone through hell and back. That's just terrible on the family, terrible on finances, everything. And then on top of that, now we, you know, now you're getting tax bills from the IRS for the difference as a windfall profit. You don't have the home, you don't have that money, you don't have this, you don't have that, but you now owe another 25 grand. No, or whatever it is. So I doubt he's going to let that stay on, but he hasn't said a word about it. And if he's going to keep spending like he's spending, you know, he's going to need a whole bunch of people giving him money. He's not going to, if he lets that go through, if he doesn't extend that legislation, then there, right in front of you, for those of you on the left, is the middle class tax hike. How's that sit with you? Because a whole bunch of people are foreclosed or short selling their houses in the millions, a bunch of middle class as well. And so he's been saying there's not going to be any tax hike on the middle class. Well, I've got news for you. That's going to be one of the biggest tax hikes, if that happens, in American history on the middle class, if that happens. That's what I'm saying. It's no way that he's going to let that happen. We'll see. We got about 7 months to go. We'll see. I hope I'm right, though, because it would certainly be it's like Dwayne just said, I think that's the case. People are going to throw their hands up and say, okay, you're going to have a rash of bankruptcies like we've never seen. So, anyway, we'll move on from the bond market, and let's see what else we have here. So, weekly bottom in the bond market. We do have something also. Let's switch over to the euro. We've talked about this. If you are on Messenger Pro, you may be seeing another roadmap. We had a roadmap last week for gold, which worked out nicely for about a 50-point move. We're now preparing a roadmap. As you know, I talked about for the last couple of weeks about the week of March 26, which is last week, for a volatility cycle and the potential of a roadmap in the euro. So if you want to sign up for Messenger Pro or just take a free trial, we may be coming out with that today or tomorrow, depending on market conditions. I may even give that one out on the radio because I'd like people to. I know there's a lot of people that trade on the radio, trade on the euro here. So we'll see how that goes. We're very close on that. Then I do want to mention this. We talked about the crude oil market. I mentioned that March 29th would be the beginning of a very powerful reversal to the upside in the crude market. They did a little bit of tricky stuff today. They went down and retested that low, the March 29th low, which was at 103.15. Today's low is 103.10. They've reversed, and this would have been a roadmap, but they got it done really quickly. We did tell some of our institutional clients to sell puts anywhere below 103.55. And puts, again, are options. You can ask Birch Lichter at Daniels Trading about options and how you might use them to take advantage of a move like this. This is up. The first target on the upside was going to be 105.65. They've reached that already. And then I don't have it right in front of me, but there would be normally a reaction off that and then a continued advance and test or attempt at 108. So we have quite a bit of ways to go up here from this reversal that we're talking about. So the potential. The way this would have been laid out in a roadmap is that those who got the first, you know, $2 or whatever on the upside, they would be only holding aggressive positions for the continued advance. So keep that in mind. And I think we also, of course, even though we're talking about an advance, we do have the monthly top in March that we've been forecasting for the crude market. And we've seen a reversal in March so far. This is going to be a bounce inside the range of that monthly bar, basically. You know, we're just moving up from here. It doesn't stop the market from having a nice
move. Which month are you in on crude?
I'm sorry?
Ed wants to know which month you're using on crude.
Oh, just let's see here. We're in July. Is that correct for Bert, or I don't know if he's listening?
Is that correct, Bert?
May.
What
month is May?
Oh, we should be in May?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to switch that over then. So July is too far out.
Correct. You're tier three at that point. So next, this one, front month is May, then June, then July.
Okay. It's trading pretty good in July, though, as well. I mean, I'll do the May. But, yeah, all the forecasts, the March 29th bottom and all that, all on July.
Okay.
So, I mean, just saying. I mean, you know how they say that nowadays. Just saying. For those who have reflected. Yeah. Who those have reflected.
The rest will, too.
Yeah. Okay. anyway, okay, let's see. I think that is it, Dwayne. We've covered a number of them here. Soybeans continues to just rock through the roof here. this is May soybeans. Are we good in May, Bert? Is May good?
Yes. May beans until the end of April. So we're
okay.
Good there.
Okay. they've had, this is what's known in technical analysis as a hell of a rally.
It really has been. We have beans in the teens. From February, yeah. We were down at $12, and now we're up at $14.23.
Yeah, it's been an amazing run. This market does have a top indicated for it in the month of April, so we're going to talk about that a little more as we get further into April. So I think that's everything we have. The S&P continues to press up against the 16 level here. We're slowly, you know, advancing. This hard, you know, it's hard to maybe put a trade on here because it is so quiet, but there's probably going to be some other indication a little bit later today that's going to be useful if you keep an eye on your stuff, even though it's very quiet now, probably much later in the session because we're kind of in the dead zone right here. With regard to the S&P, but we have broken out above some recent highs at 1415. We haven't closed above them yet, but they are certainly testing those levels. So we'll see how the market handles all that. So, Dwayne, I think everything, that's just about everything we've got right now on our side here.
Okay.
Something else, let's see, there was something else I was going to mention about something over the weekend, but I can't remember what it is.
The thing we
I
talked
was driving
about.
My,
I'll go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry?
I thought you were trying to remember.
Yeah, I was driving my car and something had struck me, and I thought, well, that would be something really good to mention. And I didn't make a note of it because it's no longer legal out here to pick up your iPhone, which is right, and you know, text or type yourself a message because you'll run your car into somebody. So I actually got a ticket for that, and that happens. And so if you know anybody who, I don't know if it's in your, Dwayne, do you have that law in your state or no? You guys are rebelling.
Arizona, I don't think it's a law here yet.
Okay.
I don't think, yeah. But it's certainly a good idea.
Oh, it definitely is. There's no question about it. Anybody who's driven their car behind me or anybody else who would text or be doing something on their cell phones can tell that you're not driving properly and that you can just sense that the person's not all there. And, you know, you're hurtling 4,000 pounds down the road. You should be there. You know, it'd be a good thing for your awareness to be, you know, paying attention to the task at hand and all that stuff, especially since you can, you know, hurt yourself and other people. So it is a law out here, and it is also a law in California, and they're very aggressive about it. So I do all my texting with the phone held down low so they can't see it. I'm just joking.
the thing we talked about earlier about the markets tending to go higher on the first of the month and first
yes.
of the quarter due to window dressing. First day of the quarter, S&P 500 up 75% of the time.
First, yeah, that's
first
huge.
First day of the month, up 66.7% of the time. And today happens to be first trading day of the month and first day of the quarter. So today
yeah.
you get a little double bang.
Extra kicker.
Bert, I'm,
yeah.
I'm sure you've heard the term window dressing before. I guess that's a no. Bert does not dress his windows.
He doesn't dress them. No, he's heard it before. He's heard everything.
So, yeah, tomorrow, be back to normal.
All right. Well, I think that's everything we've got, Dwayne. We'll continue to talk tomorrow, and we'll probably be here through Thursday unless it gets really, really quiet. But this is, you know, again, this is a holiday week coming up. And traders will tend to want to take the 4 days off. It'll probably be very busy here in Las Vegas. It's Good Friday is what it is, yeah. So a lot of people will be taking off probably on Thursday for a four-day weekend.
Yeah, we'll be here Thursday, but we'll definitely be closed on Friday.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back again on Monday.
Okay. Well, Dwayne, I think that's it.
All right, David.
I've spent my time. I could go on, but, you know.
Well, there's anything
never be
else
able to
you
stop
want to cover,
me.
Go ahead.
There's other subjects, but I think I'll save some of those for tomorrow, Dwayne. I appreciate you. That's very nice of you to allow
okay.
me. And I did like your little text over the weekend, Dwayne, if you don't mind me saying this, texted me some pictures of those Easter eggs that were scattered all about. And I'm sure that was a ball that you had over there.
There was a lot of kids and a lot of eggs and a lot of people and a lot of hot dogs. And yeah, it was nice. It was really nice.
That's nice. In the America's largest amusement park.
No, that was at Cesar Chavez Park down the road.
Oh, okay.
Different.
No, that was nice. I appreciate. I chuckled when you sent that. I thought that was really.
I thought you'd enjoy it.
You know, nice. Yeah, that's very nice. All right, Dwayne. Listen, you guys have a wonderful day. Thanks for the questions. I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll
All
go
right.
from there.
Have a great afternoon, Dave.
Okay. You too, everyone. Thanks again.
Alright, guys, that's going to do it for us here, too. It is difficult to envision getting long up at these levels, but, you know, embrace the possibility. A reminder on the blog, there are two videos, one's from the 23rd, one's from the 26th. And all they do is they simply walk you through the entire day, Globex session, from midnight to midnight, and they point out each of the setups as they come about on the S&P 500 E-mini futures. Now, my goal is to get us caught up to date through today. It's going to take a couple days to get caught up. But then at that point, I will start to put one of these out for you on the blog. At least that's the plan, each and every night. If you haven't taken advantage of the free trial, it's pretty simple. You just go to cfrn.net/apply, fill this out, you're in. If you want to go watch those videos on the blog, just click visit the blog. If you're a first-time visitor, there's some information here for you, kind of help you get orientated. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on here down at the bottom. The Twitter, the Facebook, the whole thing. Also, we encourage you to download our e-mini toolbar. Click right here. Works. I happen to be in Chrome right now, but it works on Internet Explorer and Firefox. I'm working on getting it ready to go for Chrome as soon as I can. But it puts a lot of things at your fingertips. The Daily Audio Bible, our daily newspaper, our articles over on Seeking Alpha helps you, or it enables you to listen to the radio with one click as you surf the net. Okay, it just kind of plays in the background. We do stream 24/7, even though we're only live 2 hours a day. The radio itself is streaming 24/7. A little something to keep you company there as you surf. Now, I'm going to focus on the S&P on those videos, and I'm going to do my best to keep them really short. The first couple ran long, but basically what you're going to see on the videos are me pointing out these. That's a trade entry where price drops more than 2 points. There's another entry where price drops more than 2 points. The next trade entry is right here. It actually, there was a third one here. Right there. So there was three in a row. See, this is beginning at midnight for April the 2nd. There's three shorts in a row, and then a long that took us all the way up here. Then another long. And we've pulled back here. And this has gotten kind of flat. After all this movement, does it have another leg in it? It might. But something you might want to think about is this. The Dow is pressing up against this weekly trading zone. Okay. Now, the weekly trading zone caught the turn this morning. These zones go out to the partners every Monday before the market opens. Once the zones go out, they're good for the entire week. They don't change. The price came down this morning right at the opening bell and turned up at the weekly zone, and it sliced right through the 175, 180. But as you can see, this 220 zone has given it some real pause here. Almost got a little triple top here on this chart right at the zone. Now, am I saying it can't break through? No. I'm saying it's having obvious trouble getting through that area. So probably what I would want to do, if I were going to go long the S&P, I would probably wait to see the Dow break above this 225. That's what it should be, 225. I'd like to see the Dow break above that and then hold it on some kind of a pullback. Because we're just kind of hanging out in the air up here. Okay? And look where the cycle is. This thing's buried. And remember at the beginning of the show, I circled this one little candle right there. And I said, we've had a really nice run up. And this might be the spot where we get a retracement at least back to the BBC, the green line here. That's exactly what happened. So, those are the kind of things that will be on those videos, and if you watch the two that are already out there, you'll get a flavor. My goal is simply to shorten them. I don't want them to be more than 3 to 5 minutes. They really don't need to be more than 3 to 5 minutes. I think the two that are sitting there now, one is 10 minutes and one is 20 minutes. But I've kind of said everything I need to say in general about what I'm doing. So now all I have to do going forward is just go in and do it. So, and then there's a recap from a year ago that I posted on the blog. It's probably worth your time to, let me see where that one is. See if I can find the page it's on. I'm trying to remember where I posted it. I'll find it, and I'll move it up to the top of the queue so that you can find it. It was from, oh gosh, a year ago or more. And the reason I drug it out of the archives and threw it up there was to point out that what we're seeing now are the exact same setups. They haven't changed. 2 years have gone by, and it's still the same setups over and over and over again. Does that make it easy? No. It just makes it simple. So sometimes we have a hard time being simple enough. And I'm using the not the empirical we, but the personal we, as in me. So it's good for me to point those things out sometimes, even for myself. All right, I'll leave the hourly chart running. That's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.